Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, universe. And for those of you joining us live in the Illegal Curve post-game show via YouTube and our other social media platforms, I say welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. I am somewhat of your host, Dave Minuk. Drew Mandel, dealing with the repercussions of his vaccination shot. So he's going to be a little under the weather right now. And I am joined somewhat in studio by the dashingly handsome. I was so irritated at Ezzy because the game ended 15 minutes ago. I want to be mad at that guy. I want to be mad. But when I'm looking at that face, it looks so handsome with that hair. I can't possibly be mad. So I'm joined in studio, in quotes, with my host, Ezra Ginsberg, the dashingly handsome Ezra Ginsberg. Ezzy, folks aren't happy right now. The Jets just lost their seventh game in a row. Montreal beat the Leafs in overtime. So now Montreal is tied with the Jets in terms of points. People aren't happy. What say you after the Jets' seventh straight loss?
Well, first of all, shout out to Kristen Harms, Haircuts on the Go. Just got my new haircut. I literally just finished like 10 minutes ago. It was looking pretty good, Dave. Like Josh Morrissey popped the goal in, and it was looking like, you know, the Jets were, you know, forcing that one into overtime, but obviously a horrible way to lose your seventh game in a row. And, you know, we have to talk about the power plays and the second period, right? Like the Jets had no shortage of opportunities. And, you know, that first period wasn't bad, I guess, Dave, for the Jets. And there were some opportunities. But, you know, in that second period, when you have that many power play opportunities and you're not able to convert, I mean, that's the story for me, right? And, you know, we've talked about this on the Saturday show and we talked about it on the homestand. This Jets team is struggling with confidence and struggling to put the puck in the net. And, you know, I thought Mark Scheifele had a really good response game. I thought he was solid. We mentioned, you know, Morrissey, you know, I don't know how many shots he ended up with, but, you know, it seemed like he had 20 shots on net tonight. And, you know, he stepped up his game. You know, the new line combinations, Dave, did exactly, you know, what you thought they would do, right? You reunite Kopp, Lowry, and Appleton. And you got exactly what you expected out of them. And, you know, I thought, you know, Christian Vesalainen maybe wasn't as noticeable as he was in previous games, but overall, like this game was not a high event game. It wasn't, you know, a very exciting game, but, you know, give the Jets credit for tying the game up. But again, I mean, it's just the same old story here for the Jets. Special teams, you know, doesn't bail them out, and you know, they just can't find a way to win. But just the way that goal went in the third period, that's absolutely demoralizing. I don't know what else you can really say about it. Just that one has to sting even more than some of the losses that we've seen over the last few weeks.
Well, and you know what, Ezzy, that goal really was a result of Lauren Brossoit tried to jump on the puck and Andrew Kopp thought he had an opportunity to clear it. So he grabbed it away from his goaltender, tried to keep that puck in play. Eventually he goes around the board and Zaitsev puts it home and the Jets lose 2-1. Just a demoralizing loss because you're right. I thought Mark Scheifele actually had a pretty good game, even though he didn't score. To your point, I think I thought overall that game was pretty low event. It didn't have a lot going for it. But, you know, when you have seven power plays and you're not taking advantage of that, and the only team that does, in fact, is the Ottawa Senators, who score a shorthanded goal. And then also, and on that same power play, also had a 2-on-1 advantage. So, you know, I thought the second power play unit was better than the first. I thought they generated more opportunities. It's a word we've used a lot, and we hear it on the broadcast with Ray Ferraro, and we hear it throughout the course. The team is not playing fast. The team is playing slow. I mean, how many times have we said in Kyle Connor's career, his 300th game coincidentally tonight, that he just doesn't look dangerous. He doesn't look fast. He's not the attributes that are his strengths are not evident right now in his game. And Blake Wheeler, again, you know, like Paul Maurice has a tendency to kind of default to what he knows. And I agree with you. I thought the Lowry, Kopp, and Appleton trio is one that he's comfortable with. I thought after not looking great previously, I thought they were back. I thought Adam Lowry looked really engaged physically in that game. But, you know, and I thought Mark Scheifele had a pretty good game, a bounce back game from a kind of a laissez-faire one previously. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's one of those situations where, and people have to realize, it's not like the Jets came into this game as favorites. The Jets came in as underdogs because Ottawa, I think what was the thing on the broadcast? The Ottawa Senators have won 11 of their last 15 games. So people could be like, well, I mean, how did you not bounce back and win this game? Flyers of Ottawa is a crappy team. Look, Logan Stanley knocks Shabbat out of the game. He doesn't return after the first period. That's a big loss because that's a guy who lugs, what, 25 minutes a night for Ottawa, is he? So that's a big loss for the Senators. But you can't act as if somehow the Jets should have gone in and dominated the Ottawa Senators, because this Ottawa Senators team is playing very good hockey right now.
Absolutely. And, you know, going back to, you know, what you were saying about Scheifele, Connor, and Wheeler, you know, obviously Scheifele is the driver of that line. Connor's the goal scorer. Wheeler's the playmaker. And Wheeler, we know, has struggled at 5-on-5. But you're right, Dave. I mean, the speed, that has been such a big part of the Jets going back, what, 4 or 5 years now. And obviously not having Ehlers in the lineup, you know, hurts. But you've got other players that can generate speed. I agree. Connor is the one player. Let's be honest. Blake Wheeler is not the speedy player that he once was. I'm not saying that he's slow, but he's definitely slowed down. Connor is the one that you expect to be, you know, driving that line in terms of speed. But, you know, again, the margin of error for this Jets team is so low. And you mentioned, you know, Lauren Brossoit, you know, and the Jets, you know, failed to get the puck out. And, you know, when you're trying to just get that one point and force it to overtime, and you can't do that. I mean, again, it's kind of a symptom of what's been ailing this Jets team for going on, what, 2.5, 3 weeks now. And so there are positives that you can take. What were the shots? 17-4, Dave, in that second period. But again, no goals to show for it. And you mentioned Thomas Chabot. You know, Logan Stanley, I thought, had a pretty solid game. I realized that, you know, there were, you know, the obvious kind of turnovers, and there were maybe some parts of the game that were a little bit rusty for a guy that hasn't played in, you know, what, 7 or 8 days here. Mm-hmm. But I thought overall he had a strong game. But when you can't take advantage of a Senators team that's missing their most talented defenseman, I mean, there's just no excuse. And then you have the, you know, the six power plays in this game for the Jets, and you can't capitalize. I mean, you can't make any excuses up. It's just unbelievable. We haven't seen this from the Jets in so long, struggling to score, you know, goals at this level. It's not like this has just been, you know, 2 games, 3 games, 4 games. This is, you know, going on 7 games. And even prior to that, you know, there were some issues on the road trip in certain games scoring goals. So, you know, you can take some positives from this game, namely the second period, but when you don't have the result to show for it, boy, this was a game which you had to have. And especially in that first period, I didn't think there was enough urgency from the Jets. So, you know, just another disappointing one, Dave. Like there's not a lot of positives that you can talk about. You know, Josh Morrissey's play, that's a positive. Scheifele's play, positive. Nice to see Stanley back in the lineup. I thought Lauren Brossoit, for the most part, even though it wasn't a very busy night for him, was pretty solid. Maybe that second goal, you know, that goes in, you would say was not, you know, not his best performance, but yeah, this is tough. This losing streak just won't end. And, you know, Jets fans are the ones that are suffering right now.
Well, and, you know, we saw finally saw a change in the defensive pairings, you know, with in the third period, I believe it was, he finally made a swap and made some changes. And what did you think of that, Izzy? Like, to me, it's something that folks have been clamoring for a while, right? Now, just to maybe move Tucker Pullman away from Josh Morrissey. They don't necessarily have that kind of, I know that Palmieri seems to think that there's something there. I, you know, one player again who I continue, and I'm not trying to harp on him and I'm not trying to malign the guy, but, you know, Derek Forbert to me is a guy who looks like slow and tired right now. And, you know, there was one play in the third period. He went for a hip. It might've been the end of a longer shift for him, but he went for a hip check, completely missed the hip check, and then had no legs to get back and prevent the guy from slipping in behind them and from creating an opportunity. And to me, again, Paul Maurice has been coy about the whole Villanueva. He was asked about it in the morning availability with from Mike McIntyre of the Winnipeg Free Press. And I thought, why not give this guy an opportunity? I mean, Ottawa is not a big aggressive team, Brady Tkachuk notwithstanding. They're not a overly physical team. Villanueva has played against Ottawa before. You know, he's looked good against them. So, you know, again, we talked about it, you know, and Paul Maurice was asked about this also, this idea of a condensed schedule. And sure, every team has to deal with it. So there's not like the Jets are, you know, unique in this situation, but of course they have a different set of circumstances than some of the other teams in the North Division. To me, it's a function of why not get a guy like Villanueva into the lineup now, because it just seems like this back end again, you know, look, you had a good goaltending performance from the Senators. I mean, that's not to, to be dismissed. And, you know, a crossbar here, a post there, it could be a different game, but coulda, woulda, shoulda, right? You know, at the end of the day, what do you end up looking at? You're looking at your seventh straight loss.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I said this on Saturday's show, Dave, like, I don't think I can, you know, talk about, you know, Ville Heinola needs to come into the lineup anymore. Like, I just,
right. No,
honestly,
I agree.
Like, I can't do it. I feel like we've been talking about this for, you know, 4 months now. But yeah, now is the time. And I'm all in favor of Jordy Benn playing and keeping Logan Stanley in and Forbort. You know, you mentioned Forbort. I agree with you, Dave. Like, he's played big minutes, probably more minutes than, you know, you maybe wanted him to play at the beginning of the season. And I don't think there's any reason to expect Logan Stanley to come out of the lineup unless Heinola is going in for Stanley, right, Dave?
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see what type of moves Maurice makes for this game coming up against Calgary, which is another must-win game. Tonight was a must-win game. You know, the game against Montreal was a must-win game. They've been must-win games for a while now in terms of just ending this losing streak, right? So, yeah, mm-hmm. I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I was surprised that Jansen Harkins came out of the lineup. I mean, we talked about that on the Saturday show, right? Picks up an assist. I believe he was +2, looked really good on the line with Lewis and Nate Thompson. And that line barely played at all tonight, Dave. Like, I think, you know, you were around 6 minutes, 7 minutes. Obviously, you know, Lewis and Thompson get some penalty killing time, right?
Yeah.
But Christian Vesalainen didn't even crack 6 minutes. So yeah. I realize that part of that is because of, you know, the score, right? Like, they're chasing the game. They're down a goal. I get that. But you obviously, if you're Paul Maurice, you kept Vesalainen in over Harkins because you liked something in his game that maybe you chose him over Harkins, right? So I wouldn't be surprised if Harkins comes back in the lineup, whether it's for Vesalainen or there's another move. But, you know, I think Harkins needs to come back in against Calgary.
Well, and another interesting situation is Mason Appleton only played 8 minutes. We're not entirely certain why, if that was injury related or if he, Paul Maurice, was, you know, I mean, a lot of that was special teams, obviously. And, you know, Andrew Kopp and Adam Lowry obviously play a lot of penalty kill. Not that the Jets had a lot of penalties to kill, but there's also some special teams. And, you know, then it throws everything off. Mason Appleton's, though, I mean, that's a little bit significant when you only play 8 minutes in the game. But the one thing that, I mean, I see a lot of comments here in the section, and people have to realize, like, I don't really care one way or another, but people have to chill with the fire Paul Maurice talk, because it's just not happening. I mean, I don't really care. Like I said, it doesn't matter to me one way or another if he gets fired or if he's still there, because he's just the coach we cover, but it's just not happening. I mean, you're not firing a coach like 2 weeks before the playoffs start. It's just, I get people are pissed. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not saying that he doesn't shoulder the responsibility for the lineup decisions that have resulted in this 7-game losing streak, but it doesn't mean you have to think logically. And logically means Paul Maurice isn't getting fired, you know, with 5 games left in the season.
Yeah, no, I don't even know how you can take that seriously, Dave. Like, I mean, this isn't, you know, the 2000 New Jersey Devils, right? When, who was it, Kevin Constantine that they fired for Larry Robinson? And I should know this.
Yeah, you should know that as the Devils guy.
It was Larry Robinson that came in. Was that, maybe that was 2003. I'd have to look that up. It's been a long time. I'm getting to be an old man here, Dave. But no, you're not going to see a late coaching change here. Like, and, you know, at some point, and it's not that the players aren't taking responsibility for this, but at a certain point, you have to look at these players and say that these are the ones that are going to get this team out of it, right? Like, the coach can't put the skates on and score goals. And we've talked about, you know, the lack of goal scoring for this team, right? Like, Paul Maurice isn't going to be able to score a goal on the power play. The Jets had chance after chance on the power play. And yes, you had some good looks and you had some good puck movement. Like, you know, Scheifele and Wheeler, we know what they can do out there. I thought Paul Stastny, you know, he had some good looks. Like, but how many high danger chances did we see on those power plays, right? Like, Robbie Fatorik was the coach that was fired by the Devils. I should know that, but it was 20 years ago, right? So, you're almost, you know, at a loss for words here with this team, Dave, because I still believe that this team, if they get the goaltending and they're relatively healthy, I think this team can win a playoff round. I don't know if they can win a couple of playoff rounds, but what we're seeing, like, are the Jets the worst team in the North Division right now? They might be. I'm not talking about record. I'm talking about
No, I understand.
how they've been playing lately. I mean, certainly the Leafs, the Oilers, the Habs, you're going to put them above the Jets. And I think you'd put the Senators above the Jets right now as well. And Calgary's been, you know, staying alive in the playoff race, even though it's over for them now. But something has to give here. And even though they tied that game up in the third period and it looked like it was going into overtime, that still wasn't the type of effort I think you're looking for if you're Paul Maurice and the coaching staff. Maybe one good period, maybe one and a half good periods. But, you know, it's not going to be good enough at this point. They need wins. They need more than one goals against a Senators team with that didn't have Thomas Chabot in the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, and just to answer Paul's question here, you know, in terms of putting Cole Perfetti in, unfortunately, they're not. It's not that they, you know, Cole Perfetti, probably the lone bright spot. I quoted Claude Noel today. I said there's some joy in Joyland today because Cole Perfetti was named AHL Rookie of the Month for the month of April by the AHL. And he was simply sensational. And I know people are saying, well, Cole Caulfield's been thrown into the lineup. Quinn Byfield's been put into the lineup by the Kings. You've got a lot of guys who are getting, a lot of these rookies who are getting opportunities. But the one thing you have to factor in right now is
Caulfield is a year older. We should point that out.
Yeah, no, of course. But I'm saying that, but these rookies who are getting their first kind of NHL taste. But the reality is Cole Perfetti's in Winnipeg right now. And he's training with the Moose to leave to go to Toronto. And the Jets are about to fly tomorrow to Calgary. So I know people think, why not, you know, throw Cole Perfetti into the, I'm getting my Coles mixed up, Cole Perfetti into the lineup. But, you know, again, for the next game, it's not going to happen again.
It's not that easy.
No. And so if you leave him behind in Winnipeg, which is always possible, he doesn't go on the road trip with the Moose, he in theory could play the first game of the homestand for the Winnipeg Jets. But again, like I said, guys, Cole Perfetti isn't going to, you know, do what's necessary to save this team. And someone pointed out earlier, he said, Ville Heinola isn't, you know, by himself going to be sufficient to turn this all around. And I agree. I don't think this is a one-man situation. I think this is a complete team, you know, loss. Like, I'm hanging this on the entire team. I'm not hanging it on one player saying one player in particular was bad. I think it's probably a good thing that you can get, so you can put it and point at so many players and say, you know, this is being spread out. But the truth is, again, the big dogs, the guys who get paid $8.3 million, who get paid $7 million, I'm not going to pin the blame on guys who are making $750,000 and $800,000. Blake Wheeler, Kyle Connor, Pierre-Luc Dubois, Mark Scheifele. I mean, again, Mark Scheifele had a better effort today. But at the end of the day, like, he's been sitting on 199 goals and 499 points for how many games now? I mean, this whole team needs to figure it out. And, you know, what we've been able to consistently say throughout the course of this season, Ezzy, is that when they have a loss or they have two losses, you know, which they even before this, they hadn't had a lot of, well, they usually bounce it back. Well, now we're not seeing it. And what that takes, I don't know. But right now, I'm not seeing Ville Heinola, Cole Perfetti, David Gustafson, some injection of youth, something will alter what's happening right here. And people are right in saying, you know, Paul Maurice has to figure this out. Right now, you know, your power play units were abysmal. I mean, the power play is the difference in a game.
And what's so weird about that, Dave, is the Jets still have a top five power play in the league, right?
I know.
Like, this is, to me, like, you know, we cover this team day in, day out. And mm-hmm. the thing I think that's the most frustrating for Jets fans about this 7-game losing streak is, you know, that this team is so much better than this. Right. Like, you know, that there's so much talent on that roster. And granted, you know, I didn't watch this entire game. Like, I was, you know, in daddy prison trying to put my daughter, you know, down at a reasonable time. So I missed big chunks of this game. I'll have to go back and watch. But just reading, you know, your tweets and following what was going on, it was a pretty uninspiring first period. And there were a few good scoring chances. But I did catch most of that second period. And it was an onslaught by the Jets. They were all over. And you're right. You have to give Philip Gustafson, you know, credit. And, you know, he got some luck there. Like, Trevor Lewis tips the Andrew Kopp shot. If that goes in, you know, maybe, you know, the Jets have a completely different third period as opposed to still trailing, right? You're tied and you have a little bit more momentum there. Even though momentum is something that we always talk about is difficult to quantify. But, mm-hmm. you know, at this point, you need, as you said, as we've said many times before, you need your big players to step up. And you just haven't seen that. And going back to what you said, Dave, about Ville Heinola and Cole Perfetti, yeah, these guys aren't going to fix all the Jets' problems. But the way I look at it, it can't get any worse. You've lost 7 games in a row here. Why aren't you putting, like, at this point, it's actually making me angry that Ville Heinola isn't playing. Like, for whatever reason, like, you got to get him into the lineup. Give a veteran some rest here. Derek Forbort, Tucker Pullman. You know, if you need to give one of those guys rest to get Ville Heinola in, do it. I, at this point, Dave, you know, I probably wouldn't have said this a couple of weeks ago. I would like to see Cole Perfetti in the lineup. I don't know if it happens, and I think you have to factor in putting Perfetti in the lineup now in the middle of a 7-game losing streak puts a lot of pressure on a 19-year-old. And I think that has to be factoring in with the Jets organization. It's probably not the best time to put Perfetti in the lineup. And Dave, you know this. You've been covering the Moose all year long. Perfetti would have been in the Ontario Hockey League if the Ontario Hockey League was happening this year, right? And he's done an awesome job for the Moose, second on the team in scoring. But that doesn't necessarily mean the Jets are going to put him into the lineup in the third game of a road trip when the Jets have lost 7 games in a row. But as far as I'm concerned at this point, yeah, put Jansen Harkins back in the lineup. Get Ville Heinola in there. Like, let's go.
Well, and I think, again, I think it's what I said in the last postgame, Ezzy. Why should anybody's job be safe? I mean, nobody is doing anything to really win themselves over. Again, I thought Mark Scheifele had a good game. So you got to credit these guys when you see that. But again, Paul Maurice keeps clinging to the same notion of this is what works, right? The Kyle Connor, Blake Wheeler, Mark Scheifele line, you know, Adam Lowry, Andrew Kopp, Mason Appleton, Pierre-Luc Dubois. I mean, again, and it sounds like a broken record, but I mean, the truth is you can't underscore how much missing, you know, how much you're missing Nikolaj Ehlers right now. And especially on the power play. I mean, he would have been, what an opportunity with a guy like that, with that kind of talent. Of course, it would have been second power play unit, but still, regardless, he still would have, you know, I'm not going to say relished because there's been too many hot dog jokes in the last couple of days, but he would have relished that opportunity. I thought Adam Lowry had a pretty good game, banging, crashing, getting himself back into the contest. What do you think of number 17's play overall tonight, Ezzy?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, I didn't watch the first period. So I'm not sure how the first period was, but you know, for the second half of the game that I watched, yeah, I mean, you know, Lowry, I know he was getting some more power play time than he normally would. And I like him as an option on the power play. We know, you know, he's got the big body and he's got, I think, underrated hands, and they obviously, you know, didn't get any goals. When Lowry was out there, I think he was just under 5 minutes of power play time, after the game when I checked. And yeah, like, he had an impact in the game, Dave. There's no doubt about it. But you know, you mentioned Nick Ehlers, and we all know how important Ehlers is to this game. But you know, Lowry comes back, and they still don't get the win. And mm-hmm. and so what I'm getting at is, like, the excuses are done. Like, you can't use any more excuses. You lost to a Montreal team that's way more injury depleted than you are.
That's right.
Right. We all know who Montreal is without right now, and Montreal is now neck and neck with the Jets, right?
Like, no, they're tied.
Right, exactly, right? So there's a good chance that the Jets are going to face the Leafs in the first round. It's something that we didn't think was going to happen. You know, a couple of weeks back, Dave, we were, you know, fired up for a Leafs-Habs first-round matchup. You know, it hasn't happened for decades. But now there's a realistic chance that it's going to be the Jets and the Leafs in the first round, which obviously, you know, we could argue, you know, if that's a better matchup than the Jets versus the Oilers. And I would probably say, you know, the Jets are a better matchup for the Leafs. But the point is that, you know, there's just no more excuses. Like, it's way too late in the season. There's only 5 games left. You have to figure this out. You had to figure this out in the first game of the road trip against Montreal. You obviously blew that opportunity. And it was a better effort, I think, tonight. But again, like, how many more times can we talk about this, right? Like, this is by far the longest losing streak of the season. And you're right, Dave. I mean, the story of the season for the Jets early in the season, even, you know, halfway through the season, you know, 3/4 of the way through the season, was how the Jets bounce back from 1 loss or 2 losses. And now they just can't seem to dig themselves out of this. So, Nick Ehlers isn't coming back. So, you know, Scheifele, Connor, Wheeler, Stastny, Dubois, like, again, I mentioned earlier, I didn't watch the whole game, but, you know, the second half that I did watch, I didn't think Dubois was that great. And, you know, it's no goals in the last 12 games now. He's got to be better.
Yeah, and you know, we'll welcome everybody back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, or welcome everybody to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Almost 400 of you are keeping that chat alive and feisty, and we love to see it, and we love the comments. Ezzy and I read them. When Drew's here, he loves reading them as well. Keeps things rolling along. Make sure you smash that like button. Make sure you smash that subscribe button. We, you know, it helps us with our algorithms, and we always appreciate when you guys give us a little bit of love in that way. So smash that like button, smash the subscribe button. Let us know what you think about the show. You know, we can always use people dropping comments on the old iTunes. If you like what you hear,
dropping knowledge,
drop some comments, let us know, give us some likes. We appreciate all of that. Okay. So what do you go from here, Ezzy? Like, what are you going to do? You Jets have now dropped 7 straight games. You don't have any, there's no joy in Joyland. Forget about the Moose. I could talk about the Moose for a long time. But, and I know people like hearing about the Moose, so we could just alter the show and just talk Moose for the remainder. But if you're the Winnipeg Jets and you've now lost 7 games, there's not going to be one thing that's going to save this franchise. It's not going to be one thing that's turned it around. Though the North is all turned around anyways, right? Jets couldn't even sniff Edmonton, and then Calgary goes and beats them, and then Calgary loses. Like, it's, and I think Calgary just got it. I think the Canucks, by beating Calgary, eliminated them from the playoffs. So Calgary is going to be playing that role of spoiler. But what do you need to see from the Jets in this next game against the Flames? Because right now, what you're seeing, again, the Jets dominated in the shots, but when you have 7 power plays, one of which ended up being a 4-on-4, you know, you're most likely going to be out shooting the other team. So from a Jets perspective, what needs to change? Is there time, right? Like, that's the one thing we keep kind of grasping to is, you know, and Paul Maurice has been asked this a number of times in his media availabilities. Because we talked about it, Ezzy, you can't just flip a switch in the NHL. And Paul Stastny, who again is a veteran NHLer who's got, you know, almost 1,000 games in this league, he knows you just don't flip a switch and say, okay, now we're playing for the playoffs. It doesn't happen that way.
Yeah, exactly. And we can't keep saying that, you know, the Jets have to come out with a more urgent effort and they have to be more desperate, because that's been the case for some time, right? Like, that was the case after 3 losses, Dave, right? Yeah. Like, that was the case after 5 losses, and, you know, they went into Montreal and, you know, we obviously, you know, didn't get the right result. Even though the Jets had 2 separate 2-goal leads, they were being badly outplayed for a big majority of that game, right? So I think you have to have some lineup changes here. I really do think it's incumbent on Paul Maurice and the coaching staff to put Ville Heinola in the lineup, keep Logan Stanley in the lineup, get Jansen Harkins in the lineup. You got to inject some energy and some different looks, and you have to find some I realize that Connor Scheifele and Wheeler is put together because Ehlers is out of the lineup. And, you know, if Ehlers is back, that changes what you're able to do in your top 6 there. But I think you have to have, it goes back to what we were talking about before, Dave. It's so frustrating right now to watch this team because it just doesn't look like the same team that we saw earlier in the season, right? Sometimes it just looks like there's a lot of individuals. It's not a collective. And yeah, you saw some sustained pressure in tonight's game and some good opportunities on the power play. But at the end of the day, you had 1 goal, right? Like, and Filip Gustavsson isn't that good. He's not Connor Hellebuck. And you just have to be better. So, you know, I wish I had the answers for this Jets team. But right now, it's shades of a team that we saw competing with the Toronto Maple Leafs for first place. Now it's a team, Dave, it almost seems like they're just trying to hang on to that last playoff spot. I realize that Calgary's not going to get in there. But, you know, it really, if you look at this team through the first, you know, what are we at here? We're at, you know, game 51 of the season.
Right.
You know, this team is very different than the team we were watching through the first 45 games. So, yeah, you have to come out with a better effort in the first period. Not a better effort, you know. I don't want to see, you know, a good, you know, period or good 2 periods. You got to come out with probably your best period of the entire season. But it goes back to what I was saying before. That's just a cliche because we've been saying that for how long now? A week. Yeah. You know, they had to do that against the Edmonton Oilers at home. They had to do that. I talked about, you know, the Habs, and we didn't see that. So it's, you know, at the end of the day, you do wonder, you know, is this team going to limp into the playoffs and then just go out quietly? Or is there going to be a switch that's flipped at some point in these last 5 games? And then we start to see the Jets team that we were used to, because this Jet, and I'm just speaking for myself, this Jets team that we're watching now, it's not familiar to me.
No, and I think that's a good point, Izzy. And I really do think that, you know, it's one of those things that we talked about it with when I was talking about the Moose on Saturday. And I said, you know, this is a team that plays as a five-man unit. It doesn't look like an individual, like you could intersperse their names and numbers and you wouldn't know who's who because they're all playing as one. And that's not enough of what we see from the Winnipeg Jets. And again, the Jets could have won the game tonight, but it's the big dogs that need to come through when your team is down and need to, I don't know who said it. I don't remember which one of us said it. It might've been Drew who asked the question. Which player is putting this team on their back and taking them through this time of tribute of trauma, if you will, for the team, seven straight losses.
It really is trauma at this point.
Yeah, it is. It is because it feels, I jokingly said this on Saturday. It feels like Groundhog Day a little bit because we just keep seeing the same thing over and over and over again. And look, someone's pointing out that, you know, the Jets played a better game today, but at the end of the day, they didn't win. And I know that they don't have to win to get into the playoffs. We know that because of the way they set themselves up, this is a playoff team. But the truth is, again, if you just have no confidence in your game, you can't just turn it on and say, okay, well, now we're ready to go. We're going to play Toronto, who's fired up and ready to go to do something they haven't done in a long time, which is try and get out of the first round and think that you're going to beat it. Again, I think the Jets have a better chance against Toronto than Edmonton. So it might not end up being such a bad thing that this is happening. But regardless, I don't really care if that ends up happening and you luck into playing Toronto and luck into a better playoff situation. That wasn't by design. That wasn't your choice. You had that happen because you limped in, because you couldn't put it together. And so, again, could Connor Hellebuyck turn things around and become Connor Hellebuyck and steal a series for the Winnipeg Jets? 100%. The guy's a Vezina winner. And while he hasn't looked particularly great of late, I don't really care. He's still a Vezina winner and can win you a series. How many instances, Ezzy, I could tell you with the Devils. I mean, Devils stifling defense always help. But how many times did Marty Brodeur steal a series for the New Jersey Devils? So a goaltender can absolutely steal a series for you. We've seen Connor Hellebuyck do that in Toronto. So again, can it happen? For sure. But again, it doesn't mean it happened because you did something that deserved it. You did it because you kind of ass backwards fell into that. And that's the problem. That's what the Jets have to try and rectify in these final five games.
At this point, you just need wins. You need wins, Dave. And you don't need the wins to get into the playoffs, but you need wins because if you go into the playoffs having lost, let's say they lose their last 12 games of the season, right? Like it could happen though. Right. Yeah. Like it sounds ridiculous, but they've lost seven games in a row. This is only a 56 game season. So 1/8 of your season is this losing streak. Right. So you have to win games to erase this. Like this is, I don't think anybody saw this coming. I really don't. I can't remember talking to anybody, that saw this coming. I think you expected there to maybe be, you know, a couple of losses in a row. But this is getting to a point where, you know, their season is quietly, getting away from them. That's what's happening here. So yes, I agree with you, Dave. Like that's the one thing that I think, you know, if you're looking for the glimmer of hope, it's that the Jets are going to have the best goalie going into whatever series they're going into, right? So if you're playing Edmonton or Toronto, you're going to have the best goalie and Hellebuyck can absolutely steal a series. But right now, you can't even look that far ahead because you're playing so poorly. You could say that, you know, what does it even matter? The Jets have locked up a playoff spot, but because they're going into the playoffs playing like this, and again, we have five games left here, so that's not insignificant. You do have some games left. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I saw a comment, that was talking about Harkins going in and Heinola going in. And I think, don't you have to do that, Dave? Like, I don't know, like, there's no reason not to do it. Like, what are you pointing to in this game? And you're saying like, you know, oh, our team is playing too well. You know, well, no, you've lost seven games in a row. Like, what is your main reason? And I realize that it's the entry level contract conversation that we had a couple of weeks ago on the Saturday show.
But playoff games do count. So I was wrong on that. I thought that they didn't, but they actually do count against his ELC. So, you know, again, you have four games left to play Villahanola before it's for it to slide. So that would include, remember, I thought, oh, well, maybe it'll be for that. But again, I did some more reading and it turns out that, of course, it is the playoff games would count. So Ezzie, I mean, at this point, and again, Kevin Sheveldayoff has to factor that in. Kevin Sheveldayoff has to think about what this team will look like 3, 4, 5 years down the line. I mean, again, GMs can't afford to be looking right now what's happening this team. I know that people want them to because everybody wants their team to win every year. But the truth is a GM has to look at the long-term ramifications, not just looks at both, obviously, but I mean, they have to evaluate that. Paul Maurice shouldn't really give a shit, to be honest with you, about that, because while he and Kevin Sheveldayoff would have that discussion, if you feel that Villahanola is going to be the guy who's going to make a difference. And again, like I said, I don't think he alone is going to be sufficient to turn things around for this Jets team. But I'm just saying we're seeing mistakes from these guys who look slow and like
they're
I
tired.
Said,
you said it. They're tired. I know they don't want to say this, but it's been a long grind. We know that's been a game every second night, you know, three games in 5 days, four games in 7 days. And this is when, like, you don't have to wait until there's two games left or three games left to do this, right? Like, you can put some of these players in now, right? Like, mm-hmm. you mentioned Harkins and Heinola. Those are the two that are obviously, you know, most likely to come in. It might only be one. I told you earlier, Dave, like, I would be shocked if Harkins doesn't go back in. But again, I've been shocked many times before in hockey. So, you know, he probably won't go in, but, you know that I like Harkins just as much as you do. And I thought his effort against Montreal, and not just his effort. I mean, again, the pass that he makes to Trevor Lewis on the Jets' first goal. I mean, that was unbelievable. So that's why I was so shocked that he wasn't in the game tonight. But again, not having Harkins in the lineup is an excuse for losing to Ottawa. So the way the Jets are playing right now, they're not going to go very far in the playoffs. That's what I'm thinking as I'm watching this team right now. And I hate to say that because, as I said, 40 to 45 games into the season, I thought the Jets absolutely had a shot against the Leafs or had a shot against the Oilers or the Canadiens. But, I mean, watching this team doesn't give you a lot of hope that things are going to change. We'll see what happens here in the last five games, but you know, I'm usually, you know me, Dave, I'm usually a half glass full type of guy, but, you know, it's the same old, same old. It's really unfortunate, but you know, this team doesn't, it looks like a team that's not really interested in winning, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, well, I'd call you a beard half full guy, right? Kind of right now, because you've trimmed it and looking so suave right now. The chat, people are loving the new look, especially with that little curl on the hair. I mean, it's pretty impressive. Drew, of course, incapable of doing that. My hair, nothing to write home about. That's an impressive look you got going on. And that's probably the most exciting thing people have to chat about. That and Cole Perfetti being named AHL Player of the Month. Yeah, rookie of the Month, awesome. I should say.
Much deserved.
No, definitely deserved for him. You know, a real good young man. And people are calling for it. You know, people are saying, bring in the young guns. And, you know, I saw one of the comments, and just to make a note, David Gustafson is with the Moose. As far as I know, he's with the Moose. So he played in that last game for Manitoba against Stockton, the win, the seventh win of the last eight games for Manitoba. So he wouldn't be available. And CJ Cease was also reassigned by the Jets. So there's another player who wouldn't necessarily be available. You don't really have that many options. You have Dominic Toninato, you have Marco Dano, you have Sammy Niku, you got Villahanola, and you have Eric Comrie. So realistically, from the perspective of the taxi squad, you know, I thought Dominic Toninato, and Jansen Harkins, I guess, obviously is now with them again. But
put Toninato in, like, honestly, Dave, like, well, like, no, I mean, why not at this point?
Toninato actually looked, again, I watched him play three games for the Manitoba Moose. I thought he looked really good. But at the same time, I think it's one of those situations where you're going to put Harkins in over Toninato if you have the next move to make.
No, but I mean both. Like,
oh, you're saying is, yeah, like
Harkins over Toninato. But what I'm saying is like again, I'm not saying, you know, completely blow this thing up here. I'm right. Just saying, like, now is the time to do that. Like, don't do that with one or two games left because it's not going to matter. And I guess you could say it doesn't matter now because the Jets have already clinched a playoff spot. Or I guess technically they haven't clinched a playoff spot. I'm not sure if they have, but
no, they haven't. They haven't.
Yeah, I don't think that anybody thinks that the Flames are making the playoffs at this point, especially after losing that game on Saturday night to Edmonton, right? So to me, it's about, you know, changing it up here, you know, getting some new fresh legs, some fresh bodies, some more energy. Even though, you know, tonight, I mean, again, like I feel like we're still looking for moral victories here. We're saying, oh, well, you know, this was okay and this was okay. But when you have lost seven games in a row, that's not going to cut it.
Right.
So you got to have, you know, something different, something fresh. So, I mean, again, you know, Harkins, Heinola, those are your main options there. So, you know, maybe I'm getting a little out of hand here, Dave, but, you know, I just think something has to be done here. And we have talked about what that something could be, but it seems like all of those things that we think could change this and could get this turned around. And yeah, I mean, the Jets could easily win in Calgary and maybe that turns into a, you know, 3-4-5 game winning streak here. And then, you know, it's going to erase this 7-game losing streak. But right now, I don't think things could be worse. Quite honestly, they could not be worse for this Jets team.
No. And I think that's fair. And, you know, it becomes a function of what do you like? I've said this before. It's like trying to take a round peg and put it into a square hole. A guy like Christian Vesalainen, why is he on a checking line? Like Christian Vesalainen.
Well, and he's only playing 6 minutes, right?
Yeah. But like, what a waste of time. Like it's just, and I get that guys quote have to they have to earn their stripes, but Christian Vesalainen, first of all, he should have more energy than almost anybody because he's been playing hockey since his Liga days in early September. But I mean, he is a guy who has an unbelievable shot and he's looked good. I would be inclined to give him an opportunity to do what he's supposed to do. I mean, we always talk about this, right? Like you don't want a guy to come up from the AHL where he's the first line center, for example, and play fourth line 6 or 7 minutes. I've always said, like allow those guys, allow those roles to be filled by guys like a Nate Thompson. If you're not going to use it, if you're not going to have a more even distribution, that's the problem with the Jets. They don't seem to do that. If they had an even distribution, if they rolled their lines a little more effectively, then I wouldn't have a big problem with it because you're going to get a guy like Gustafson if he's your fourth line center, which I would think he'd be a fantastic option in that role. Again, like just try it because I get what you want. Like Paul Maurice is, again, he clings to this notion, right? These guys have to be multifaceted. They have to just be able to, they can't play 5-on-5. They have to play 5-on-5 and special teams, you know, in that role, like a Nate Thompson, a Trevor Lewis. Okay. But I mean, you know, at the same time, your team can't score a goal if their life dependent on it right now. Like realistically, you guys, I mean, again, you got, you know, Gustafson had a great game, but you had one goal. Like
it's painful to watch. It really is. And I wish it wasn't, but anybody who watched this Jets team for the majority of this season, and you're watching them now and they're struggling to score one goal in a game, it's flabbergasting. It really is, because you know, for the most part, you're healthy. Yes, you're missing one of your top goal scorers in Nick Ehlers, but last time I checked, Kyle Connor's been in every one of these games. Mark Scheifele's been in every one of these games, right? Paul Stastny, Blake Wheeler, you know, the list goes. Andrew Kopp's got 15 goals this year, right? Like there's no shortage of firepower on the Jets. Yeah, like so that is what I think is the most troubling about what's going on. I think we can all come up with possible solutions for this team, but again, when you're given all of these power play opportunities and they like, I don't know about you, but I was watching that second period and all the shots, and I'm thinking the Jets are going to like they're going to score on this one, and then they didn't score on one of the power, like it just doesn't seem to end here in terms right. of you know, their inability to finish, and they have so many finishers. So that's what, shout out to Bruce CBC, who's texting us right now, by the way. Bruce, what's up? Good to see you. Good to see that you're texting us. I haven't seen you you know, since COVID hit us. We'll see each other one day. You know, this is just it seems like we're running out of excuses. We're running out of things that may, you know, solve this issue for the Jets. But again, you know, there is still a little bit of time here. Not a lot of time, though. I mean, the playoffs are starting in a couple of weeks.
And as Ty wants to know if anybody needs to be talked off a ledge right now.
Well, I hope not. But the way the Jets are playing, I can understand why there's a lot of angst in Jetsville.
Well, and I think, again, like I said, we're not going to solve the issue. And ultimately, at the end of the day, folks, you know, we're not going to create a solution that Paul Maurice and the Jet staff are going to say, well, Eureka, we're going to listen to the illegal curve boys. And that's what we're going to implement in our system. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, we're observers. We're watching these games. We're you know, we interact with the players and the management. But at the same time, at the end of the day, it's Paul Maurice and his coaching staff that have to figure this out. And I, personally, again, you know, remember, what were his words? He wanted his lines to look somewhat like he was going to roll with after that second game of the homestand against Toronto. Well, right now, that doesn't work. And now, again, and I'm a broken record on this, but I'm going to just say it one more time. Nikolaj Ehlers' absence is brutal. But to your point, Ezzy, which you made when I made that comment earlier, Nikolaj Ehlers was part of this losing streak. It's not as if Nikolaj Ehlers didn't play any of the games. He played the first two games, the one against Edmonton, the one against Toronto. So Nikolaj Ehlers wasn't resolving all of the issues. But at the same time, maybe it's time for Blake Wheeler to not be on the first power play unit. Maybe it's time for Blake Wheeler to be on the third line as a winger. Like, to me, again, it's if you see that a player, and don't get me wrong, I'm not questioning Blake Wheeler's heart. You know, you saw him 2 games ago. He was all over the ice. He's trying to get this team back in the, you know, quote, the thing they love to say, to staying in the fight. But at the same time, don't feel the need to stick with this just because it's what's worked in the past. Because it's not working now. You've tried it over and over and over again. And it just isn't working. So to me, it's like, it's time to completely mix it up. Like I said, if you want Matthew Perreault to inject the first or second line, if you want Christian Vesalainen, I get that it's easy to do from our perches up here when we don't have to live with the consequences. But right now, I mean, you're living with the consequences of a 7-game losing streak. So what really do you have to lose? Today he didn't change the D pairings till the third period. I mean, it's like you got to start doing this stuff. And again, you don't just do it for the sake of change, but at a certain point you have to figure it out because, I mean, people are asking in the comments, and I'll ask you, Ezzy, because I don't know. I don't believe it. I mean, I shouldn't say I don't believe it, but I don't know one way or another, but there seems to be a consistent question from a lot of the people in the chat. Has the team tuned out Paul Maurice?
Well, and that usually happens, Dave, with extended losing streaks.
Mm-hmm.
I have absolutely no idea. I can tell you this much. When you watch this team on the ice, the way they're playing, and you listen to them pregame and postgame, I mean, their body language indicates a team that not only is struggling and losing a lot of games, it's a team that is defeated, right? And that's what concerns me and has concerned me for over a week now about this team. Why does it feel like the sky is falling and these guys all have pianos hanging over their heads, right? Like it shouldn't feel like that.
Yes.
Just because you're missing, you know, one of your star players. And I think, you know, I mentioned this on Saturday's show, like are the Jets just not a very good team? Like, did they fool us for the majority of the season? And was Connor Hellebuck, you know, really just the way he was playing and winning games on his own, you know, is it just not that good of a team? Like, I don't know about that, but I think that, you know, this team is much better than a 7-game losing streak. I really do think that, but yeah, I agree with you in terms of, you know, we've talked about this so many times. Marat has wrote about this for The Athletic. Like, it makes so much more sense to have Dylan DeMello. Like, I'm not talking about for a period or a game or 2 games,
right?
Like, your top pair should be Josh Morrissey and Dylan DeMello. You acquired DeMello from Ottawa and he was good last year, and you signed him to a 4-year deal, Dave, or 3-year a 5-year deal.
No, right? 3-year deal.
Sorry, 3-year deal. And so you didn't sign him to a 3-year deal to be a third pairing defenseman.
Right.
Right. So
absolutely.
Again, we're not knocking Tucker Pullman here at all, but no. You know, DeMello's better than Pullman. So you should be playing your better defenseman on your top pair. And then when you talk about, you know, some of the forward lines, there's something completely off with this entire team. And that's what I keep getting back to here, guys.
Yeah.
Like I don't think the Jets are just a bad team. Like, well, why were they in second place 2 points behind the Leafs? And is part of that coaching? Yes, I do think part of that is coaching. You have to have your team ready to go. The special teams, that a lot of that has to do with coaching. The Jets' power play is way too predictable now. And it goes back to what I was saying before. The Jets still have, what are they, fourth, fifth in the entire league? Obviously.
They were fourth. Yeah,
fifth in the league. So through 45 games, like, why were they so good? Well, because of Kyle Connor, because of Nikolai Ehlers, because of Mark Scheifele, because of Neil Pionk, right? Like, there's no shortage of talented players on this team. They're just not finishing right now as a team. So you can't pick on one player or two players and say that, oh, it's, you know, it's because Pierre-Luc Dubois is, like, Pierre-Luc Dubois, his lack of production concerns me. To be honest with you, like, you can't blame it on the quarantine anymore. The quarantine was that's 2 months now. And again, I like Dubois. I'm a Dubois fan. I don't know what's going on with his game, but that's not the Pierre-Luc Dubois that I was watching last year for Columbus in the playoffs against Toronto. So, you know, I'm left scratching my head here how this has gone off the rails so quickly.
Yeah. And I mean, Ezzy, that's what I think everybody is looking at. And I think to your point, I think it's what has set this up, right? Because if this Jets team was kind of doing what everyone had suggested they would be, which was fighting tooth and nail to be a fourth place team, then I think everyone would be like, okay, you know, they are where they are and they are who we think they are. The problem is they overachieved and they were a second place team. And now they've dropped from second. They're still in third because they have the tiebreaker over Montreal, but they're now tied with Montreal. And I think that is what has everyone so upset because, you know, what do they say? You know, the higher you're up, the harder you are, you fall. And I think that's partly what we're seeing with this Jets team. I think maybe, you know, and that's, you know, Headshot is saying their terrible analytics finally caught up with them. And, you know, the analytics, I mean, tonight's game removed because the analytics weren't terrible for the Jets, but the Jets are being burnt a little bit, right? Because
yes.
Connor Hellebuyck can cover up a lot. But when Connor Hellebuyck isn't at his best, then you have an issue. And that, I think, is part of the problem for the Winnipeg Jets.
And I agree. Sorry, Dave. I was going to say, I agree with Headshot. Like, that was something we talked about on the Saturday show, I want to say a month ago, 6 weeks ago, when you looked at expected goals. Like, when you look at PDO, if you're an analytics nerd like we are, you know, you look at that type of stuff, and the Jets were, you know, bottom five when it comes to, you know, expected goals for, expected goals against, right?
Right.
And Connor Hellebuyck is obviously one of the best goaltenders in the league, as you mentioned, Dave.
Right.
And, you know, goals saved above expectation. I don't think he's first anymore, but at one point he was first.
He slid,
right?
Big time. Yeah.
But at one point in last year, obviously, that was one of the reasons why he won the Vezina Trophy. So that's kind of like, you know, I didn't think I would be saying this, but and some people were right when the Jets were in second place and a couple of points behind Toronto that, you know, this team isn't as good as the record indicates. But that might be the case. But I also don't think they're as bad as a 7-game losing streak indicates. That's my whole point.
Right.
Like, I do think that this Jets team has a lot more to give. And I think, going back to what you said before, Dave, I think there are some tired players on this team. And it has nothing to do with their age. I think it's a function of the season and the amount of, you know, the 17 games in 31 days that we saw in March.
Yeah.
And that's why I for the life of me can't understand, you know, why Paul Maurice hasn't put certain players into the lineup yet. And, you know, we don't have to, everybody knows who those players are. But again, free Heinola, let's go.
Okay. Well, hold that thought. We're just going to do a quick commercial shout out to all of our sponsors. We're going to come back. We'll do some final thoughts and then everyone can join Kenny and Rennie. Loving the passion from everybody in the chat. But as Joe from Winnipeg says, smash that like button. Make sure you're subscribed. Ring that bell to have notifications for when the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, Illegal Curve Postgame Show is. Of course, go to illegalcurve.com for all your Jets and Moose content when we're not live on YouTube. And we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Keeping Winnipeg laughing for over 30 years. Rumors, Canada's longest running comedy club, bringing you the biggest laughs from the best comedians on the planet. Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the greats, and all the up-and-comers too. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends or book your office or birthday party. Even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Hey, Drew.
Ezzy, whoa, what a smile!
Yeah, I got my crowns done at Linden Market Dental Center, and they whiten my teeth.
I see.
They're so bright that every time I smile, they go,
we have hockey tonight. Do you have a mouth guard to protect those pearly whites?
I sure do.
Whoa, they even ting through the mouth guard.
Linden Market Dental Center covers all your dental needs, from restorative to cosmetic dentistry, and will fit you with a sports guard for that active lifestyle. 877 Waverly, see LindenMarketDental.com.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
While you can't always count on your team winning, nor your favorite player scoring, one thing you can always count on is Bernstein's Deli. They've expanded their services because the team at Bernstein's Deli wants to accommodate your needs and keep you safe. Open Tuesday to Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. to serve you. Head to your phone, in-store or online to shop for groceries or order meals from the restaurant, like the legendary Illegal Curve Sandwich. Just go to bernsteinsdeli.com.
So you're a pizza person, you married a wing person, but somehow your kids are salad people. You can't pick your fam, but you can pick your BP meal deal. Starting from $18.99 for takeout or delivery at bostonpizza.com.
We are back from the Illegal Curve post-game show. I am your host for the night, Dave Manuk, joined in studio by the very handsome Ezra Ginsberg. He's lost about, what would you say, has he 40 pounds of hair?
Yeah, at least 40. I was thinking more like 45, but you know, I kept the hair on top because I just like it, right? Like, I usually go with like a shorter haircut. So I kind of just said, you know, make me look like Josh Morrissey. But again, shout out to Kristen Harms, Haircuts on the Go. She will come to your house, and you know, obviously, you know, she was working with not a very handsome subject tonight, but she gave me a great haircut. And if you're looking for a haircut, definitely you know, look her up and check her out.
Okay, well, that probably should do it for us. We appreciate all the great talk and all the chat from all of the people in the chat room. And without you guys, there really isn't a show for Ezzy, Drew, and I to do. So a big thanks to everybody who keeps this rolling. A big thanks to all of our sponsors, again, for their support of our new endeavor on this channel. But just make sure you hit that subscribe. Make sure on your way out, you hit the like button. We'll be back to talk about the Jets' next game. Remember, the Jets are traveling tomorrow, so they've got no media availability, so there won't be any Jets news tomorrow. The Moose are practicing as they get ready to head out on the road for their final road trip, so there could always be some Moose news. There just won't be any Jets news tomorrow. But still check illegalcurve.com because we will have all the latest Winnipeg Jets and Manitoba Moose news and audio available for you at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. Of course, there's still plenty more to come, Ezzy, because we're going to have the comments from Blake Wheeler, Josh Morrissey, and Jets head coach Paul Maurice, which were wrapped up a little while ago while we were on the air. We didn't get a chance to play them, but we're going to throw them up on illegalcurve.com as part of the post-game recap. So on behalf of Ezra Ginsberg, on behalf of Drew Mandel, who's not here right now, I'm Dave Manuk. I've been your host for the Illegal Curve post-game show. Thank you, everybody, for joining us, and we wish you all the best. We'll see you very soon.